and compromise has been challenging. The Humane Society just wants to make sure that it's not breed specific. From a citizen standpoint and an owner standpoint, you know, if I have a dog that's had no propensity to violence against anyone and then all of a sudden bites somebody, now under the without this amendment, there is a what's the right terminology? There's a presumption, and now you've got to go to court and prove that your dog, that Fluffy, was a good dog and never had any propensity to do violence. What the committee's done with the final version, though, is as the good chairman talked about, is there's three levels of proof. There's a preponderance proof, there's a clear and convincing, and then there's the stuff we use for the most serious and significant crimes. So what the committee did in this round is to take it from a preponderance to the next level. Now, I guess the debate, you could say, well, you know, we could cite all the horrific dog bites and say that they should be held accountable to a higher standard. But I'm also going to say we're trying to strike a balance between those that have never been in the process. Fluffy was a good dog. We didn't know Fluffy did this. And a preponderance standard, they still have to go and defend it under the law to try and fix it. But why should they have to meet the second highest standard instead of a preponderance? Now, all bets are off if something happens again. But the question is, this preponderance question is one that could lead to serious issues. On the other side of it is, believe it or not, in the Capitol, this has gotten more discussion than a lot of other bills you would have expected from a standpoint of what expectations are for a compromise. And without a compromise bill, our landlords are still on the hook. We still have our citizens who potentially own dogs that they love being kicked out of apartments potentially or not being renewed or whatever because of the potential liability. So it is a serious issue to resolve. So what the amendment does is saying, okay, you're now going to be in the system regardless of the breed. You satisfy what the Humane Society wants to accomplish. You are going to have to go to court to show whether this was a dangerous or a non-dangerous dog. But for the life of me, I can't figure out why at the last minute we've gone to the second standard here instead of a preponderance is to have a higher standard. So what the amendment does is say, you know what, we're taking everybody in. You're going in to defend what your dog is. But rather than having to meet on this first offense the second highest level, and I guess I don't know if it's non-criminal or not, but you still have to meet a significant standard but not the second highest. And that's really kind of the right balancing act of what we're supposed to do. And from my understandings of many conversations, it also raises the probability that we'll never, ever have to deal with this subject again. Otherwise, I feel that we're going to be back here. We could end up leaving here without fixing the problem, still having a landlord exposure, and still having our constituents kicked out of their rental units because we weren't able to work something out. So this is trying to hit to do the right thing and kick the right balance and also satisfy, as we go down, what we were trying to do, which is to say the interest groups and people want to say that it's not breed specific. And then the people who say, well, kids have been gotten maimed or hurt, they deserve compensation and they deserve to be heard. We do that. And at the same time, we just don't require that they meet the second highest, that the dog owner can show on that Fluffy was a good dog, and there's a preponderance of evidence that says it's okay, then we can move forward. So I think this does strike the right balance. And talking to people in the last 48 hours, they feel that the standard that's in the bill right now for the dog owner to meet goes too far, and this tries to get this bill out of here so we never see it again. I ask for your favorable consideration, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't think it's a secret that I didn't support this amendment in committee, but let me tell you about Fluffy. 2 days ago, Fluffy, part pit bull, I guess, bit a 20-month-old baby, I think it was in Baltimore, and bit her in the face. Dundall, the chairman of EHE, says. Bit her in the face, caused serious injuries. The child is going to be okay, as I understand it, but, you know, she's got lacerations on her face, and perhaps permanent scarring. I think that in a case like that, it's appropriate to say to the owner of the animal, you're responsible. The strict liability standard would say, you're responsible. We don't care what this 20-month-year-old child did. This is your dog. If you got a 20-month-year-old in the house, on your property, anywhere around, it's your job to make sure that your animal doesn't hurt that girl. That's the direction that we went in the special session. Our committee moved away from that standard pretty substantially during our markup on this bill. I got to tell you, the House put amendments on the bill, too, without consulting the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee. In fact, the person who is complaining about the amendment that the senator's amendment addresses is the one who put the amendments on. So, you know, there's stuff that has to be worked out. This is not going to be difficult to work out. We're about that far apart from having identical bills. I don't see, while I didn't support it, I don't see the Senate amendment that this addresses as being a major obstacle to working this issue out. I think reasonable people can figure it out, and we will.